Welcome to another Salt Lake Tribune podcast. I'm Tony Semrad with the online edition of the Salt Lake Tribune, and I'm here with Judy Faes, environmental reporter for the Tribune. And we're here to talk about a series of stories on climate change and global warming that begins today in the Tribune and runs through the course of the week. Welcome, Judy.
Hi, Tony.
My first question, having read the series, is what were the origins of this package?
Well, over the last 2 years, climate change has really exploded in the media. The National Geographic did a big story on it. The New Yorker did a big series of stories. The New York Times has been following the story pretty aggressively over the last few years. And it's really become a topic for the mainstream public. And so it seemed like it was a natural question to ask. Well, if climate change is happening and the climate is a global phenomenon, can we see it in Utah? Are there any manifestations of climate change that are in Utah? So for the last few weeks, we've sent out reporters to look at such things as climatology, wildlife, water, weather, the business community and how the business community is coping, and then what government and consumers can do and what they are doing. I think the most important finding that I had personally was that, or a realization might be the better word, is that climate change is a constant in life. It's something that you kind of know if you live here on the Wasatch Front and you look at the hillsides and you see the old lake levels, the old Lake Bonneville levels, and you realize that, you know, even in the last 15,000 years, the climate has changed dramatically, that people could fish freshwater fish out of the Great Salt Lake at one time, and there it wasn't a terminal lake. So we know that climate changes, and the amount of water we get changes, the temperatures change, and again, we just thought we'd look at it in the context of this modern discussion of a global climate change that's been brought about by mankind.
Mm-hmm. And the series runs for 7 days over the course of this week,
right.
With as you said, a number of aspects covered. What to you were some of the more surprising things that you found in doing this reporting?
Well, I was really interested. I thought that we're in a situation like that old fable where the guy who's looking for his keys is looking under the spotlight, even though he knows he dropped his keys somewhere else, just because the spotlight's there. And it seemed to me that we just really haven't asked the question. We haven't decided to look here. And it turns out that even though there's not one climate model that specifically says Utah's going to get 2 more inches of rain a year or anything like that, it does appear that there's been a gradual increase in climate. I focused on a small area down in southern Utah at Zion National Park, and found a man who, when he was a teenager, used to help harvest ice that his family would keep through the summer and would make ice cream out of for tourists. And he said that even after, you know, a couple decades after he was doing that, you really couldn't do it anymore. It just really wasn't warm enough. Then we had the Utah Climate Center actually run data from the weather station right there at Zion and found that, in fact, the temperatures basically climbed about 2 degrees in that time, or closer to 3, actually. So it's an interesting piece of information, and in and of itself, it doesn't say that climate is changing, but it does suggest one more little piece of information that goes in that direction. Then you look at some of the findings that the other reporters came up with, and again, in and of themselves, there's not enough data to say that, yes, climate change is here and this is what's going to happen. But I think there's a sense that there is a change and that we need to be prepared to respond. And there are methods and options for addressing climate change that we can start using right away.
Mm-hmm. As your piece notes, the opening piece says that this is kind of a muddled topic for a lot of people, very broad, something that's sort of stated in terms of conflict, that is, that there are sort of two sides to this and highly politicized. But I get a sense that you sort of found something a little bit different, that you, by proceeding from the assumption that some kind of change is afoot, there's a consensus in the scientific community, you kind of tended to take, and by you I mean the reporters, all the reporters that worked on this, kind of tended to take a more local and personal approach. Tell me a little bit about the approach.
Mm-hmm. Well, again, we just tried to zero in on the local issues rather than the global ones. That's not to say the global issues aren't important. Religious leaders have come out in the last couple of years and called climate change a moral issue. The Salt Lake City Mayor, Rocky Anderson, called it a moral issue as well. And if you look at some of the international reports, like the International Panel on Climate Change, they say that the people who are poorest and are the ones who are going to suffer the most, because they have less capacity to adapt than we do. So, again, it's not that those issues aren't important, but ultimately, those will ripple out to us. We'll have refugees. Maybe they'll be Katrina refugees, or maybe they'll be refugees from islands in Indonesia that have been inundated because of the rising sea levels. Maybe we'll see refugees from Alaska. Maybe we'll find that we don't get oranges, or nearly as many oranges as we want in the winters anymore, because the Florida coast has been inundated and there's a migration away from the coast toward inland Florida for people who live there. Businesses are really concerned about the issue, local businesses as well, because they rely on energy, and the cost of energy is becoming more and more tied to the issue of climate change. And I think they look on the horizon and foresee that carbon probably will be controlled, carbon pollution will be controlled. So they need to get a handle on, well, what will our costs be, and are there ways that we can start now to minimize our costs in the future? Those are things that are happening right here in our own backyard. They're not things that are happening around the world to somebody else, but they're happening to us. So climate change is affecting us already, even if we don't see our weather changing in a dramatic way or a radical way.
Well, the series on global change starts today, running daily, am I correct,
mm-hmm.
For this week in the Salt Lake Tribune. Thanks very much, Judy.
Thank you.